Well, I don't know whether we're in Hebrews or in Luke this morning, so the answer is yes, we're in both. So, as we come to the Word this morning, we will be in Hebrews chapter 1, the first four verses, and then jumping to Luke chapter 2. But let's ask the Lord's blessing as we come to His Word and hear from God. Heavenly Father, what a joy and a privilege to lift our voices to You, to be able to praise Your name. And now, Lord, we ask that You will speak to us through the power of Your Word, Your eternal Word, the Word that You have entrusted through prophets, the Word that You have given to us to teach us everything we need to know about life and godliness. And so now, Father, on this Lord's Day, we ask that You will indeed speak to us through Your holy Word. We pray all these things in Your Son's glorious and precious name. Amen. Now, we have been walking through the book of Hebrews. We're actually going to be in Hebrews 1. We're going to jump around, and next week we're going to pick up with Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. So we're not going to go on to 5 yet. So there's too much important in verses 12 and 13. But if you remember, when we started the book of Hebrews, we started with these glorious words, the first four verses. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. For He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. And after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And as we've walked through the book of Hebrews, we started with that glorious introduction. And we've been repeating every week that the theme of Hebrews is Jesus is
better.
Yes. And in fact, that's the premise of the book that we've been looking at, is the pastor is unfolding us this again and again picture of Jesus has come. And He was prophesied long ago, and in many ways God spoke and He said, the Messiah is coming. And now He's come in the flesh. And the whole premise of the book is how wonderful Jesus is. Remember, the congregation that this book, I believe, was written to was struggling with the reality of, is this all there is? That seems to be the question that was on their minds. We all do that on a regular basis. You ever looked around and go, oh, life is hard. I mean, I just look at the tyranny of the urgent this morning, even on this blessed Lord's Day. Connie's car breaks down. Mother-in-law, we're caring for. And then, we have to arrange rides, and you know what? It's all good. But it's easy to get caught up in the tyranny and the urgency of this fallen world and just lose sight of Jesus. And that's what this pastor is doing, is saying, whoa, time out, folks. Remember how glorious Jesus is. He's the answer that you need. And in fact, remember last week, we broke off with the whole theme that Jesus came to do what? Bring you and me rest. Spiritual rest. Because Christ did everything we need. It's done. It's complete. And if you think you need to go back to the old system and sacrifice or do this or be nice to this or give more money or do whatever, just rest in Jesus. He did it all. And rest in that satisfaction. And that's the encouragement that He's giving to His Jewish congregation. Now, what's interesting is the author started, you just heard those first four verses. When I read those first four verses, I can't help but think back to Luke's gospel. You remember Charlie Brown's Christmas? Schwartz?
Amen.
He brought the gospel back to America by reading Luke 2. I love it. But it's a great passage, and this, in my mind, points me back to that great passage that Luke penned for us. And hear these words from Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses. I know it's a long passage, but it's the same thing that the author of Hebrews is pointing us to. So hear Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Now let me just stop there. Imagine the thoughts going through their head. Think about it. You ever packed up your family and do it? And for Joseph, this is the first time. And the whole idea of like, can't believe the government's making us do this. Come on, put your unsanctified imaginations on for a moment and you think about the thoughts and the grumbles and the complaints and the groans. Really? This was kind of inconvenient. All of this is coming about. And I can just imagine what I would be thinking in my flesh. And I bet if you put your unsanctified imagination to it, you could think of the same things that, oh, Mary's going, oh, but my back's hurting. And, you know, all these things that come with that. But that's the reality of life in this world. But let's keep going because Luke continues. Verse 6, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to their firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were filled with great fear. Notice what the angel had to say to them first. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I love that verse. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Now, we could go on and on and on about this Luke 2 passage. But what I'm struck with is this. God, in bringing forth His Son, our Savior, He didn't do it in the way you would normally think of a royal announcement, did He? He brought it to the most lowly of people possible, the shepherds. Ordinary, common people. People like you and I. And yes, on that night, those shepherds were shocked. They were amazed. They were fearful. Isn't it interesting? Anytime you come face to face with an angel, a heavenly being, it's a fearful thing. And we can only imagine the majesty of God. But He chose to bring the message not through pomp and circumstance of the wise men or Herod or the royalty or the celebrities of the day. He came to bring it to those who were kind of on the outside, the shepherds. They learned firsthand from the angels that God was doing something amazing. God was providing a salvation that was so desperately needed by each and every human being that he started by bringing that message to the shepherds. People who, it was obvious they needed it. Rough, tough, not quite so polished people. God was providing for his people. Notice in verse 10 there, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Think about that. Good news of great joy. Stop for a moment and think. Is that what the gospel message is to you? Good news of great joy. That has to be the first and foremost thing. As we've been walking through the book of Hebrews, that's the point of the pastor. He's like, time out. Don't get caught up in all the stuff. Don't lose your rest that's found in Jesus. Remember the good news of great joy that was announced to the scum of the earth first. The lowest of the low, the shepherds. And so, when the angels say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord," we could go on and on and on and unpack the theological implications of those very words. It's always funny, some people say, "Oh, just give me Jesus." Which Jesus do you want? The one the angels announced? Jesus, or a Savior who is Christ the Lord. By that very thing, they have made a theological statement. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. All of these things are theological statements about the Jesus who came as that simple baby. So we can't just say, just give me Jesus. We need the Jesus of the Bible. And so I want to remind you today that you too can find great joy in this good news of Jesus who came for you. Now, most of you know that as a biblical counselor, I meet with a lot of people. And so, quite frankly, I sit with people in the most difficult times of life. Times of death, times of crisis, times of anxiety, times of fear, you name it. And sometimes as a human being, it's easy to sit there as a pastor and go, what do I do? How do I answer this? This just stinks. I mean, I'm a human too. And sometimes we just go, this is wrong. Because we live in a fallen world. But here's the thing. It's when we put our eyes on the circumstances around us and we take our eyes off Jesus, Christ the Lord, the Savior, the one who has provided the rest that we need, that we become anxious, we become fearful, we lose sight of what's really important. And so pick up on those words, I bring you good news of great joy in your worst moments. What's my good news of great joy? It is Jesus. Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ the Savior, the Lord. Just keep heaping those adjectives about Jesus on it. Because one thing I have learned, I'm what, just about pushing six decades on this terrestrial ball, is that God's Word has the answers. And God uses the very tough times, the most difficult times in our life, to grab a hold of our attention. You know? He takes those times and He wants to be the rest that we so desperately need. And so He uses those tough moments of life that we need our Creator. We need our Creator's provision, which is what? Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Lord. And only God could provide that. That started all the way back, right after the fall. What was the first promise? He will bruise your head and he shall crush, or he shall crush your head and he shall bruise your heel. The hope that Jesus would overcome. The Messiah, the Savior, would come and do what we could not do. And so we need to go back to the good news of great joy, the wonderful truth of the gospel. One of the principles I've seen in God's Word from beginning through end is this. God has never intended for you or for me to thrive apart from His provision. God has created you and I as dependent creatures. We need the living water. We need the eternal bread of Christ. As Christ said, man does not live by bread alone. We need God's provision, and He never intended. And so the birth of Christ, as we stop, as we remind ourselves, as we do every Lord's Day, Jesus Christ came up out of the grave on the first day of the week. That's why we celebrate on the first day of the week. And we need to remember that the birth of Christ should remind us of at least two things that God provides for us. And these things can be a tremendous source of joy, great joy in your life each and every day. First, we need to remember the joy of experiencing God's sufficient grace. Each and every day, stop, take time, and ask yourself, how has God blessed me? How is my life different because I know of Jesus Christ? What an amazing thing. When the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Is that true for you? It needs to be. We need to remember the angel's message every single day. You know, it's easy this time of year to get caught up in all of the trappings of Christmas and the lights and all of that. Hey, they're awesome, mind you. You know, I love Jim, dresses up as elf and has a lot of fun and, you know, great things. But may we never lose sight of the joy and the wonder of the gift, the ultimate gift, the gift of Jesus Christ, a babe. God becomes flesh. God humbles Himself. That's why we give gifts. Those wise men brought their gifts to the Christ child. We give gifts to one another as just sort of a way of reminding of the ultimate gift that we've been given. I remember when Jesus was at the well with the woman at the well. You remember that in John chapter 4? And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink. Whoa, time out. Think about that. This is the Creator, the Savior, standing in front of this woman. And did you hear the words? He said, if you knew the gift of God, I'm it. Jesus is speaking that. He's like, if you got it, how much of a gift the Savior, me coming in the flesh, God becoming a man and doing what man could not do. And then Jesus went on and said, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. You see, that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus' life and His work, starting with the incarnation, the birth of a humble babe, was all about bringing salvation to sinners like you and me. I love how Paul writes to Titus in 2:11. He says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Let us never forget that you and I, we need God's grace. We need His forgiveness each and every day. And God provided it on that first Christmas morning at a great cost. We know the cost that it was. And let us never forget that joy, God's sufficient grace in sending Christ in the flesh. The second thing that helps us remember God's grace every day and live with great joy is remember that God's grace impacts our everyday life. You see, when you live with the reality of God's grace, you treasure it and you pass it on. It affects the way you interact with other people. And one of the things I've learned is I can tell the more mature a believer is, the more grace they will extend to those who need it. It's those who are barely understanding grace that don't extend it. In other words, if you understand how much grace God has given you by sending Christ to be sin for you so that you might become the righteousness of God, you will be able to extend grace to those who have a short temper with you. You'll be able to extend grace to those who mistreat you or they didn't think about you. And boy, is that convicting at times. I need to look deeper into God's grace so that I have a deep well to extend more grace to them. You remember in Hebrews last week, we looked at the whole idea that He provides for us a rest. That's what it means. Is everything I need has already been provided through Jesus' work and His atonement. It's done. I rest in that. I'm good. I got my get out of hell free card. Now, let me see who else needs one. Let me see who I can bring that good message of grace to. That's the reality of grace extended. Notice how the angels declared, verse 14 of Luke 2. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, right here, on earth, what? Peace among those with whom He is well pleased. Interesting. With whom is God pleased? All those who know the gospel truth, right? Do you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior? He's my righteousness. He's my holiness. So therefore, God's pleased with me. That's all believers. And what happens to them? And on earth, peace. We have peace. We have rest because we know what Christ has done. The arrival of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, brought the reality of peace to humanity. Jesus, as He comes as a babe, ushered in not an earthly kingdom. He ushered in a spiritual kingdom. One that is unfolding. One that was purchased by the cross. And we get the benefits. We get to be counted in that by belief. What an amazing thing. Remember what Jesus said in John 16:33. He said, I have said these things to you, that in me you might have peace. For in the world you're going to have tribulation. But take heart, I overcame the world. That's your peace, that's your hope, that's your joy. Everything we need is found in Christ. So here's the thing. Let me exhort each of you, me included. Hello? I need to hear this. You need to remind me of this. Do not allow the trials and the temptations and the tribulations of this world to rob you of God's peace. Where is God's peace found? Jesus. Remember the theme of Hebrews? Jesus is better. That's why in Luke, we have peace because of Jesus. He's bringing all of this together. And so here's the deal. The next time you start feeling a little agitated, anybody ever have that? No, not us. Yes, we do because we're human and we take our eyes off God's provision. God loved us so much before the foundation of the world. He provided for Jesus before we sinned. Think about that for a moment. You ever thought to yourself, well, you know, the things I've done, maybe they're too much. You better go back and look at the timeline. God already knew everything you were going to do, and He decided that He would still save you. He redeemed you knowing how wicked and how rebellious you are. Look to Christ. Look to God's provision. Look to Him for your salvation. And so here's the deal for the message of Christmas this year is that peace and joy are found in Christ alone. Make sure you think about that this Christmas. Refocus your hearts, your mind, your joy on the words of that angel on that first Christmas. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. And then take the King's Version of Ephesians 1:6. I am accepted in the Beloved, is how it's written, Ephesians 1:6 in the King James. I love that translation because it reminds me, I'm His. I'm part of His. And so I have peace and I have joy. Everything else has fallen apart around you. But come back to that peace that you can rest in God's provision of your Savior.